following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Good morning. My name is Joshua Garcia. I'm a partner here at Life Connection, and I have the privilege and honor to bring us back into Nehemiah. So far this summer, we went through the Psalms, and earlier in the spring, we were in Nehemiah, so I have the honor to get us back into Nehemiah today. So, but first, a story. It was summer 2014 when three of my friends and I decided to go on a road trip after our internship in Toronto, Canada. We all decided to drive on Route 66 from Arkansas to San Diego, California. But before our trip, I purchased the four of us American flag bandanas. So, of course, we called ourselves Banditos Americanos, or American Bandits, as we made our way across Route 66. On our road trip, we made many stops along the way at diners, sketchy campsites, and holes in the ground. And one of the most memorable moments from that trip was a friend of mine named Luke. Normally, when you go on a road trip and you're going to camp, you buy sleeping bags, but he had the ingenious idea to purchase a pool floaty, the kind that you lounge around in a pool, and it was bright pink and clear. I'll never forget this. And so there's four grown men sleeping in a tent, probably fit for two people, as in the middle of the night in Arizona somewhere, I hear a pop, a hiss, and a dang it. And in that moment, his pool floaty deflated. It had been popped by a tumbleweed. In that moment, that began a journey of many, many more memories. However, one of the most memorable stops was at the Grand Canyon. I have a picture up there. Pick at the Grand Canyon. And at the Grand Canyon, we walked along the edge as we watched the sunrise over it. And I think there's a second picture. Some of us, including myself, decided to hang our legs over the ledge in order to take one of those Instagram-worthy pictures. And there's a third one right there. So that's me. I hung my legs over the canyon's edge as I looked down below. And at that moment, my sole focus was not falling over the ledge and plummeting down to my Instagram vain death below. I was not concerned about what I would eat later, nor about where I would sleep the next day. In those several minutes, my whole being was consumed with not dying. Have you had a similar experience like this? It might not have been hanging your legs over the edge of the Grand Canyon or, you know, getting lost in the ocean, but were you concerned in the moment and fixated on that one thing, whatever it may be? Have you ever felt like this? Maybe it was because you did not pursue the career your parents dreamed for you and you felt like you let them down. In that moment, you were fixated on their opinion. Or maybe it was when your heart skipped a beat as you looked down at your bank account and wondered if you would have enough money for groceries for the week. Or maybe it was when someone you deeply cared about and wanted a relationship with rejected your advances. Or perhaps it was when you received the news that your family member or friend died of COVID-19. All of these moments share one thing in common. Your life is wrapped up with that thing in that moment, and nothing else mattered at that moment but that immense loss, that dissatisfying news, or the disappointment of others. So, as followers of Jesus, how can we live in moments like these, like Christ? Therefore, let us dive into God's word, into Nehemiah, and genuinely seek his wisdom and guidance for these situations. If you would, let us pray. Father, as we open your word this morning and dive back into Nehemiah, Father, as a church, I pray that as we read your word, we properly divide it well. As we read Nehemiah, we aren't quick to take what we can take away from this book, but we read and understand the author of the text. That when we read, we understand that there is a culture that is much different than ours going on here. And Father, I just pray as the Holy Spirit convicts our hearts with the message today, I pray that we remind ourselves that we are not alone in obeying the commands of God. That Jesus is with us. That Jesus has given us this gift to eternal life and life abundantly. not just life on the other side in heaven, but life on this side of eternity on earth. Father, I pray that we understand your word well and that we learn how we can live this word out, not just in our own lives, but in the lives of our neighbors and the lives of our friends and family. Father, I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So if you would, I'm going to read Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15 through 7, 4. I understand a lot of our legs are worn out from yesterday at VBS, so I'm going to ask you guys to remain seated as I read God's word together this morning. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15 through chapter 7, verse 4. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. And when all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah, and Tobiah's letters came to them. For many in Judah were bound by oath to him because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Arah. And his son Jehoiachin had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Behariah, as his wife. Also, they spoke of his good deeds in my presence and reported my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to make me afraid. Now, when the wall had been built and I had set up the doors and the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites had been appointed, I gave my brother Hananiah, the governor of the castle, charge over Jerusalem. For he was a more faithful and God-fearing man than many, and I said to them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun is hot. And while they are still standing guard, let them shut and bar the doors. Appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, some at their guard posts and some in front of their own homes. The city was wide and large, but the people within it were few, and no houses had been rebuilt. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So in kind of reacquainting ourselves with Nehemiah this morning, we'll be focusing, like I said, specifically on chapter 6, verse 15 through chapter 7, verse 4. However, when we read God's word, we must not forget that we are reading an excerpt from a larger narrative from a time that has long passed us by. Therefore, let's become familiar with what comes before chapter 6, verse 15. So what comes before is Nehemiah. He is the author of this text, and he is recounting his time of building the wall of Jerusalem. We read Nehemiah recount the enemies of God, just as Sanballat and Tobiah, and their plan to overtake Nehemiah and do him harm. They sent for Nehemiah four times, and all four times Nehemiah sent a messenger to tell them that he is doing a great job for God and could not leave. Each and every time Nehemiah was coerced or threatened, he responded with, God did not send you nor tell me to come to you. This is paraphrased. So unlike Nehemiah, as we read the section of scripture, we will come across the word fear. And when we think of fear more as like me staring at the Grand Canyon. Not like spiders, snakes, or the dark. Fear, the fear of God, fearing God is a reverence, an understanding that you are much smaller than he is much larger than you. Just like with, we talked about earlier, whether it be a friend passing from COVID, whether it be you not having enough money in your bank account, your entire psyche, your entire being is wrapped up in that moment. Such as Nehemiah when he fears God, his whole being is wrapped up in God. In his word, in his command. And so we're going to look at this. A life that thinks too much of man is a life that thinks too little of God. A life that thinks too much of man is a life that thinks too little of God. So Nehemiah's obedience testified to his enemies that his God was with him. Do you know that your obedience to God testifies to your neighbor that God is real and works in the lives of his children? If you do not, why not? You living out God's word is testifying to your neighbors that God is real. That God is someone to be feared. That he is someone to be followed. That he loves his children. And that your love is played out in your obedience to him. This is how Nehemiah life and testimony to his enemies was fleshed out. Also, Nehemiah's obedience testified to his enemies that his God is powerful. Unlike the gods of the Old Testament, whether it be the God of Babylon, whether it be the God of the Samaritans, Nehemiah's obedience testified to his enemies that his God is powerful, that he is real. Now in our time of age where we seem to be distracted by everything that comes across our phone, whether it be anything that comes across our life, we tend to be enraptured, like I was talking about, with anything but God. And in those moments, it can be easy to forget that God is powerful. Do you doubt God's power and ability to work miraculously in your life and the life of your neighbor? God can work not only in your life, but in the life of your neighbor. And your neighbor sees that ability when you follow Jesus, when you follow God, when you follow his word. Not just because you go to church or read your word, but you live these things out, just as Nehemiah does. It's like, he's like, oh, he's, the enemies of Nehemiah are like, oh, this God is real. He's not just like some God to be worshipped or an idol to be praised. He is a real God who is with him. Do you know that your God is with you today, church? This is an excerpt from the Hebrew Bible, a translation with commentary by Robert Alter. They had plotted to frighten Nehemiah, but it is they who were frightened. So Sanballat and Tobiah more specifically, plan to take Nehemiah's life. And they thought they had the upper hand. And this is why I love scripture played out. Instead of Nehemiah becoming frightened by man, the enemies of Nehemiah become frightened by the living God. A life that thinks too much of man is a life that thinks too little of God. Now, Nehemiah's focus on the task at hand that God set before him saved his life. Amidst the turmoil in your life, when it feels like the walls are caving in and it appears there's no more hope, do you turn your face to God? Or do you turn your face to the tangible, the things that you think can save you? Whether it be extra hours at work to have enough money to pay rent. Whether it be somebody else's knowledge of the effects of COVID-19 or someone tells you they have it figured out and they have this gift to rid you of your worries and your fears, do you turn your face to them? Or do you turn your face to yourself and think, I can do this on my own, I have it figured out? I challenge you to turn your face to God just like Nehemiah. He doesn't turn to his co-laborers and ask them what to do. He doesn't turn to his enemies and ask them to quickly take my life. He turns his face to God and focuses on the task at hand. Or maybe to you, it's a parent or a friend who says they know what is best. But their advice is in direct opposition to God and his word. What do you do? Do you follow their word, the word of man, or do you follow and turn to God and his word? Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Is this you, church? Do you turn back when you were laboring for the kingdom of God? Do you turn back and question yourself? Do you question who God is? Do you question his vision, his mission for eternity, for your life? All of this will pass away eventually. God is eternal, forever and everlasting. Now, Nehemiah's fear was not found in the words of Tobiah, but in the word of the God of Israel. Do you allow your neighbors, when I'm talking about neighbor, I'm meaning anybody but yourself. Do you allow your neighbor's negative words, the fear of man, influence your relationship with God? Or do you allow God's word, the fear of God, to influence your relationships with your neighbors positively? Do you allow your neighbor's negative words to influence your relationship with God, or do you allow God's word to influence your relationships with your neighbors positively? Like, why do you go to church? Why are you following Jesus? Like, seems like a waste of time. I'm sure you could do something better with your Sunday. Do words like these tempt you to stray? and to turn to man and not to God. Again, a life that thinks too much of man is a life that thinks too little of God. Nehemiah's faithful obedience results in his confidence that his God is worthy of being feared. Do you see God working in your life and in the lives of your neighbors? If so, how does this impact your relationship with God? Does this remind you that God is real, that he is with you? And if not, why? And if you do not see God working among the lives of your neighbors and yourself, maybe you should develop a stronger prayer life and ask God to reveal these things to you. Cherish these moments where you see God working among the friend who seems lost, seems downtrodden, who seems like he's at his wit's end with life in general. Does your relationship with God affect the way you teach others about him? Do you teach others about God because that's what you're supposed to do? Or do you teach others about God because you're filled with this overwhelming compassion to proclaim the good news of Jesus and how he comes and he turns this world upside down? He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek. Do you think these things when you're teaching others about him, that Jesus comes for the least of these? The Christian story is not limited to a one-time decision. This is where discipleship comes in. Once Nehemiah finished building the wall, he does not stop. He continues building the buildings and the gates to the city. He sees the character of a fellow Israelite, one who fears God, and instructs him on how to do God's work. Is this how you think about discipleship? Is discipleship a process with which you instill and equip others with the knowledge of the God whose enemies fear him and fortifies our protection through our faithful obedience? Just like VBS yesterday. Just like Chris said, like these are intentional times where we let the neighborhood know that we're here to serve, we're here to love. Discipleship is a process. It's like taking care of a garden. You don't plant seeds, water once, and expect tomatoes to grow or potatoes or whatever you're growing. Green beans, I don't know, whatever you grow. It takes time. You have to nurture the soil. But even then, God is the only one who causes things to grow. Our role, our task is to be faithful to him, to Jesus. And as we fear him, as we revere God, we remind ourselves that God is real and his mission is invaluable to make his presence known throughout the earth. So events like VBS testify to that. So who do you fear, God or man? Do you fear God, revere God, turn to God, or do you fear man, turn to man? One leads to life, one leads to death. And not saying that you can't turn to a brother and sister in Christ to seek wisdom and seek advice. But I'm saying, are you quick to turn to God in your times of struggle or your times of celebration, to thank God for what he's done for you, or to ask God to protect you like Nehemiah? Or do you turn to man? Man is finite just like us, so what do they know, right? God is eternal, everlasting. Turn to God, I challenge you, and not to man. Because a life that thinks too much of man is a life that thinks too little of God. Now, Nehemiah's faithful obedience to God in building Jerusalem's wall influences his relationship with God, Israel's relationship with God, and Israel's enemies' relationship with God. Nehemiah's fear of God results in God's name being made large. Do you seek the approval of your neighbor over God? Do you fear your parents, your friends, your coworkers, or your boss? Do you fear COVID-19? Do you fear one political party over another? But when you fear God, God equips you for great works to proclaim his name in your life. How can we do this on our own? We cannot. We must turn to Jesus, the only man to perfectly revere God and perfectly love his neighbor. As Christians, we are called to put our hands to the plow and push, but we are not alone. For the one who says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, is with us. Now there will be worldly opposition, like, why do you live in the Northeast? It's very dangerous there. Why do you work there? Why did you get that degree? You can make more money if you work there. The direct opposition to Christ's heavenly kingdom building is a life consumed by the words of man and not the word of God. We are supposed to be like Jesus. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in the flesh, I now live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. The life you now live in the flesh, church, you live by faith in the Son of Man who purchased your life. You do not owe anyone anything but Jesus, and to him you owe everything. Take joy in him. Take joy in Jesus, the one who turned the world upside down and calls us to come and die so that we may have a new life that fears the same God as Nehemiah. Now again, fearing God is like staring at the Grand Canyon. You're in awe, you're in reverence. There's a giant hole in the ground. You know, that's pretty much what it is. And you're like, God made this majestic thing. Yet the God who created this is much more to be feared than a hole in the ground. So again, church, I challenge you to think about Nehemiah and his God and his decisions to put his hand to the proverbial plow and be focused on the task at hand. Because just like him, he had to answer the question, who do you fear, God or man? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to have the text of Nehemiah, where we get to read of a man who was not fearful of man or fearful of their plotting, but of a man who feared you, who revered you, who was in all of you. Father, I pray as a church, Life Connection Northeast, there may be times of discouragement where we feel like the walls are caving in, where we're worried about everybody's opinion except God's. Father, I pray that we remind ourselves of Nehemiah in this instance where he turned to his God, the God who is very real and very powerful, and not to man, because they plot in vain. Father, I pray as a church that we learn to love our neighbors well and to testify to God's working in our lives in events like VBS, but in the day-to-day as well, to our coworkers, to our family, to our friends, that the God that we serve is real and should be feared, and that we should not fear anyone else. Father, I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.